نعم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل الفرج. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب الله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل الفرج، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد محمد وعجل الفرج. First of all, I would like to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing us this opportunity and blessings which He has given us. And this is Friday night, Shab-e Jummah, and one of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we have. So on this occasion, to get His bounties and special blessings from Allah on this holy night, and for our marhumin, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faradah. As a few of your brothers and sisters are going for Hajj, the organizers have requested me to talk about Hajj in this majlis, and we'll point out a few things from Hajj, from philosophy of Hajj, and not only Hajj but in a generalized manner, so inshallah we could get benefit from the philosophy which Islam is pointing at. Generally speaking, Islam is based on a perfect way of life, and to have a perfect way of life, you should have a perfect way of guidance. And this guidance comes to us from Holy Quran, from sayings of Prophet and Aima Athar Salamullah Alayhim Ajma'in. These sayings are sometimes very directly commanding us to do something or forbidding us, but sometimes this guidance or this command has a symbolic value in itself. You have gestures in namaz, in salat, and if someone don't pay attention on the philosophy of these actions, they might do prayer and a lot of prayers, for example, but they could not get the meaning of that prayer or the philosophy of prayer. And you know, we need results. Whenever we do something, we need results. We are living in a world which has productivity as the biggest benefit of doing anything. So if you are here, you are not for a ritual to fulfill. You are here to get something, meaningful substance. So alhamdulillah, Islam is not just ritual. It has a philosophy. It has substantial messages for our life. Unfortunately, most of the time what happens with a religion, they keep doing the rituals, but they forget the philosophy. And this happens with every religion. If you look at the earlier religions, for example, Judaism or for Christianity, you can see them, they are obsolete now in our terms. When Prophet Isa alayhi salam, came here, it was 2000 years back. So the religion which was brought here by Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, it was obsolete then. And when Holy Prophet came here, there was no more validity for Christianity. But they are still surviving. They are still here. So they don't have any connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our terms, because the connection should come from Prophet, from the Holy Prophet. But they are still surviving there. And you know, a lot of religions, those have a bigger history, for example, 4,000 years or 5,000 years. So why they are surviving? And how they are doing this? They are they keep doing their rituals. The philosophy is not here. The same thing can happen with us in Islam. So just getting benefit of this occasion that a few are going for Hajj, and I think this Hajj can be done in the light of traditions or guidance of our Imam. I will mention one hadith, and through that hadith we will inshallah point out a few philosophies behind Hajj inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil. And I think it was a routine for Aima Athar Salamullah alayhim ajmain. They used to point out philosophies. So before going to Hajj, just to give you a hint of what philosophy you can have, we do ruku, we do sajda, and while we are doing ruku, what is the logic of doing this ruku? You are in a particular position, you are bowing your head, and you are in a position where you are in front of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. What is the philosophy? So in one of the traditions, Aima Athar Salamullah Alayhim, he said that when you are doing ruku, just think that, oh Allah, I am ready to sacrifice my neck in your religion. I have kept my neck out, and I am ready that it can be cut in the way of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. Now, this is the philosophy, a simple philosophy. So in ruku, you have a philosophy of being sacrificed in front of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. Now to guess what we are doing, how many times we thought about that point in our ruku. And this can give you a hint that why our society, having all the rituals being done, not getting the benefit of these rituals. Prime benefit of all rituals, prime benefit of all worships is obedience to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. If everyone is praying 100 rak'ah a day, but there is no obedience to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala in their normal life, it means these rituals are not giving us the benefit. Same is happening with Hajj. Over 2 million people visiting, doing Hajj, when they are coming back, you can imagine if 2 million or more than 2 million people going Hajj from all around the world, they are coming back with a message of obedience, and they are obedient to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. What change they could have created? And for so many years we are doing the same thing. For 1400 years we are doing this Hajj, and how many people have done this Hajj, and what type of influence we had on our soul and on our society. So what is the lesson? The lesson is there is something missing here. And the same missing part was happening at the time of Aima Athar alayhi salam. So in one of the traditions from our fourth Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farda. This tradition is very famous by the name of Hadith Shibli. There is a person by the name of Shibli, and he has done his Hajj, and Imam also. So he went to Imam to meet him, and as he saw Imam, Imam said, "Have you done your Hajj?" He said, "Yes, I did that." Then Imam started asking him something, and through asking each of the point, he gave us a philosophy of that point. For example, he said, when you change your dress for ihram, have you intended that thing? Have you thought for that thing?" Shibli said, "No, Mala, I could not do that." Then Imam said, "You had to do this thing." Then again and again and again, starting from ihram, coming up to the last act of Hajj, Imam kept asking him, "When you did that thing, had you thought that thing?" He said, "No, Mala, I could not do that." So at the end of the line, Imam said, "Shibli, I will recommend you to go and do your Hajj again. Because though you have performed your Hajj, but your Hajj is not accepted. Because you had not thought about these actions, whatever you have done." So the Hajj was correct in its ritual. There was no problem in it. But the philosophy was missing. And as per recommendation of fourth Imam, he asked him to go back and do his Hajj again. I don't know how many of our prayers will be accepted without philosophy. We are doing our prayers for so many years. For a person like me, it's now more than 35 years. So for more than 35 years, I'm doing the same thing for many times a day. So should it give any impact on my soul or not? And I'm reciting that it should give me qurbatan ilallah. So whatever I am doing in my prayer, it is for qurbatan ilallah. And I did that for 35 years, for example. So after 35 years, should not I ask myself how much qurba I have received? And how much closer I have came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if someone says, if someone replies me that I cannot guess this qurba, have I come closer or not? So I will ask him another question. Can you do any business without getting knowledge of whatever you have achieved in last 30 years? Will you do anything? For example, I'm doing my business and I did that for 30 years. And after 30 years, if someone asks me, is there any benefit of your business? And I tell them, no, I'm not sure about it. So why we are doing this? So you are doing prayer, think about it, get the philosophy, and then to be on a certain position, keep asking yourself, have I achieved qurba? So this night is wonderful night, Laylatul Jumu'ah. And Laylatul Jumu'ah and Yawm al-Jumu'ah, day of Jumu'ah, are for thinking and pondering. You have this night and you recited Dua al-Kumail. I will just a few sentences for Dua al-Kumail and come back to Hajj. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Again, looking at philosophy, what is the use of Dua al-Kumail? Someone reciting in Arabic, and alhamdulillah, first stage has been done. There is a translation showed there. So you know the translation, you have Arabic. And what is left now? You are listening to Arabic, looking at translation. What is the next level? The next level is connection between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, we recited Dua al-Kumail for 25 minutes. How many minutes from these 25 we were connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That was our achievement. That was our true achievement. So if you were connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by your heart, and you think that you have something, you're getting something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is your achievement for Dua al-Kumail. So don't stay for rituals only. Go beyond ritual, get the philosophy, and that philosophy then reflect in your soul and your deeds and your practices. Now coming back to Hajj and coming back to philosophy, we have in general a chapter in Islam which is called symbolism. There is a strong sense of symbolism in Islam. For example, whatever you are looking at, this minbar and the type of dress we are wearing, all of that has a symbol in our mind. This minbar is a symbol for the place where the Holy Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil fa, he used to sit. So it's the same wood which we use. We could use a chair instead of that member, but the chair was not reflecting that symbolic value, so we use member. And we use Aba, and we use Qaba, we use Amama, everything. It is a symbol to something. Now, our prayers are same. All of them are symbols to somewhere else. And na'uzubillah, we will be disconnected if we don't pay attention on symbolism, and our youths might get disconnected too. If we could not give them the symbolic value of every deed, and they could not get the philosophy, after a few years, they might ask us, what is the benefit of doing all these things? In our previous generations, we never thought of getting philosophies of everything. A few were doing this, but most of the people were doing just reciting, just doing their rituals. And that was enough for them. But I think not in this generation of philosophy and logic. So we have to pay attention, and the same comes with Hajj. So what is the philosophy of doing Hajj? First thing is changing your dress. You have reached, for example, Miqat, and you are going to change your dress. Now Imam asked him, when you were changing your dress, had you thought that you are changing your soul, which was polluted by sins, and now you are wearing another dress, which is clean, pure, and white. Had you thought that? So by changing your previous dress, which was normal for you to wear in your daily life, now you're wearing two pieces of cloth, both of them are, for example, white, and they are clean, neat and clean, by any means. So had you thought that you're trying to change your soul from the polluted one to the new one, from the one polluted by sins to the new one which has been blessed and getting nuraniya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have you thought that? Shibli said, no, Mala, I could not think that. Then Imam said, okay, when you were traveling towards Makkah, you were saying, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik. Had you recited? He said, yes, Mala, I recited Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, and the whole sentence. Then Imam said, had you thought about appearing in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment when you were saying, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik? Had you thought that? For example, when you were saying, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, had you thought about the Day of Judgment when you will be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Could you imagine that? He said, no, Mullah, I could not do that. And in one of the traditions, same fourth Imam, when reciting Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, he was thinking and he was having bukha in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and could not recite this sentence, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik. So one of the companions said, Mala, you have to say that, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik. Imam said, is it easy for me to say that? Is it easy? What if I said, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, and Allah said, La Labbaik, Wala Sa'daik? No, you are not ready. Were you ready at that time? Are you ready at that time when you are saying, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik? Are you ready to go in front of Allah? Standing in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment? So Imam said, Shibli, had you thought that? He said, no, Mala, I could not do that. And then Imam kept asking him, and there were a very meaningful sentences in that tradition. It is available on the net. Whenever you had time, you can see this tradition. And I will follow with a few more which are more familiar with us. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil farj. In one of the parts of this tradition, Imam asked him, when you were doing tawaf, I remember when I was in Qom, it was a question for me, what is the logic of doing tawaf? We're doing the same thing. For example, we are circling around a piece of stone, for example, for seven times. What we are doing? Why we are doing this? So Imam said, Shibli, when you were doing tawaf, what you were thinking about? You're circling the house of Allah, Baytullah, for seven times. What you were thinking? He said, I could not imagine anything. He said, you had to think that as I am keeping this Baytullah in the center of my circle, I will always keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the focal point of my whole life, at the center of my thinking, at the center of my priorities, at the center of my decisions. Had you thought that? Shibli said, no, Mala. I was not thinking. I was just circling. And Imam kept asking him and said, when you sacrifice the animal, what you were thinking? And I know I don't know what is the practice here in Pakistan. From Islam, we have very few things to do. Everyone do that. One of them is sacrificing the animal. They do that with glamour. And na'uzubillah ta'ala, whenever a society disconnected itself from philosophy, what happens? Rituals become important. And slowly and gradually, when ritual becomes important, disconnected from philosophy, another thing adds on. And that is a type of joke with rituals. Non-seriousness with rituals. And this is happening with Eid. Either Eid al-Fitr or Eid al-Adha. Both of them happening. So in Pakistan, if you go to the streets and you see, for example, a cow being slaughtered in what it was supposed to be. It was in the memory of sacrifice done by Hazrat Ibrahim in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, when When you are in Pakistan, you see animal being slaughtered, but people used to do what children do. They just clap. They just shout. Is this has anything to do with sacrifice of Ibrahim and Ismail? Any reflection of philosophy? Nothing at all. So why this is happening? First step is disconnection of ritual from philosophy. Second step is becoming non-serious regarding rituals. And the third step is, na'uzubillah ta'ala, is to leave rituals and na'uzubillah, leaving even the appearance of religion. So Imam asked him, when you were sacrificing an animal to come out from Ihram, what you were thinking? Had you thought, and then Imam gave us 2-3 points, and I would request you to keep these points in your mind, though I'm not sure, will you sacrifice here or not? Is this allowed or not? It's not allowed here. But whenever you think about sacrificing an animal, for example, just keep these 2-3 points in your mind. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Imam said, when you sacrifice the animal, think about what's happening and pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, O Allah, this time I am sacrificing this animal. And if it was needed, I am ready to sacrifice my own self. This is the philosophy. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Holy Quran that this blood is not important. The meat is not important. Taqwa from your heart is important. And what is taqwa from your heart? It says that you have to pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this time I'm sacrificing this animal, and the next time if needed, I'm going to sacrifice my own self. And another message is here. It is mustahab to keep your hand on the knife when you are sacrificing animal. I know it's not possible here. Why this is mustahab? This profession of being butcher is not mustahab. But this time it is mustahab to keep your hand on the knife which is going to be used. So what is the reason? It says that pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this time I am using this knife to sacrifice this animal. If needed, I will sacrifice and I will exert all my efforts in the way of your religion. This will be my effort. So keep philosophies in mind, and then you can have a perfect religion. And the same thing is happening every day in our life. You have symbolism all over your religion. So next time, if you are praying, you can pay attention on the philosophy, as most of us are not going for Hajj, and most of us are not going to have sacrifice of animal, but every one of us has to pray. So just to end it, I will add a few points regarding prayer and namaz and the gestures we have in namaz and what philosophy we can think about. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj. And this is also explained in another tradition, and this tradition is from our sixth Imam, Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Sometimes I think that if I was on that place, for example, a person came to Imam and he prayed 2 rakah and Imam watched him, he's praying, then Imam asked him, come here, and as he came, Imam said, what you are doing? He said, I was praying. Imam said, is this what you normally pray? He said, yes, this is how we normally pray. Imam said, if this is your prayer, this is not going to be accepted. It's not going to be accepted. So he said, and he said, I remember in the tradition, he said, I was so ashamed because I was an aged person, and in front of a lot of people, I heard that if this was my prayer, it is not going to be accepted. So he said, I was feeling ashamed. And then I asked Imam that I have not done good with me for so many years. Will you bless me with a prayer which I can could learn and then perform? Imam said, yes, I will do. So he said, Imam was standing in front of me, and he raised his hand and said, while you are raising your hand, the point which should be in your mind, you are facing Qibla, raise your hand, and said, first thing you remember is to surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you raise your hand, you said, Allahu Akbar. What is the meaning of raising hand and saying Allahu Akbar? He said, this reflects you are surrendering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the start of prayer. And a lot of times our friends ask us how we can make ourselves concentrate in prayer, because no prayer can be accepted without concentration. So there is a solution from Ayatullah Bahja. He said, whenever you are praying, start it with istighfar. Between whatever you have done between two prayers, just mention it in your mind, do your istighfar, and ask for help from Imam al-Asr alayhi salatu wassalam. So you start with an istighfar, thinking about whatever you have done between two prayers, and then after istighfar, ask for help from Imam, and then start your prayer. You raise your hand, you say, I am surrendering myself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you said, Allahu Akbar. Then Imam said, what you should think when you are doing Qiyam, for example, you are reciting Surah Hamd and Surah, what you should think? Imam said, keep your hands in front of you, and then think that as you are standing in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment, what sort of humbleness you would like to show at that time? Think of it now and show that humbleness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here you can feel what will happen on the Day of Judgment. Then he said, go for ruku and think for sacrificing yourself, and again go for sajda and think that I am bowing my head and putting the most honored part of my body on the earth just to show my humbleness. There's a beautiful meaning here between two sajda. He said, you will sit in between two sajda and you will say, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh. What it reflects? He said, this sitting between two sajda reflects your earthly life, your this world. It is just between two sajda. It is a small pause between two sajda. And you will go back to the second one as you have died and you are going back to your origin. And then when you raise your head, you will recite tashahud, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. When reciting this tashahud, just think that you are standing on the Day of Judgment, and this tashahud you will like to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that Day of Judgment. So whenever I am praying, and as I said, we have prayed for so many years, if the result of this prayer reflects my position on the Day of Judgment, will that be enough for me? For example, whenever I recited tashahud, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, what sort of attention I had, what sort of depth I had, if that tashahud was declared on the Day of Judgment when I was standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will that be enough for me? Or I would like to add something. So if you want to add something on the Day of Judgment, add it here. Your tashahud should reflect your spiritual connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So giving depth to your prayer will give depth of connection to you, of your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all happening here. Most of us think about barzakh or think about Day of Judgment and think about the questions in our grave. This is everything happening here. And just another type of symbolism in Pakistan, just to reflect this symbolism, I used to think that if we would be in grave and on the first night there will be angels asking us questions about our belief and about our, for example, practices, what would be the answer? So I thought, because I was a teacher in Pakistan, I just thought that this is a very strange exam. We already know the question and we already know the answer. No exam can be done if every student knows the question and every student knows the answer. What sort of exam is this? So I'm in the grave, angel is there, he has a question, I know the question. And he needs an answer, and I know the answer. So what type of exam is this? Why is this happening? So just to make people realize, I advise that, can I keep a photocopy of all these questions, answers with me? And when in the grave, angel come and said, I have this question and answer with me, and I can answer everything. Is this going to happen? Of course, we know this is not going to happen. So what type of answer is needed then? Is this the answer from memory? Do we think that it is an exam of our memory which will happen in the grave? So we are sure this is not going to happen. This is a symbolism. What type of symbolism is this? And where are we getting the answer from? So in general, the answer is coming from current life. Actually, what you are doing here for 60 years or 50 or more than that, this is your answer. Right now, you are writing the answers with your practice. What type of answer is this? They will ask, who is your Rabb? Rabb the sustainer. Who you think is your sustainer in this world? Not by your spelling out the sentence, by your practice. So if, just for an example, if I'm doing a business and someone tells me that your business is no more here, you have lost everything, does it give me any, for example, trouble or depression or problem that I've lost it? And what will happen with me? What about my risk? What about my earning? And I give the example of business, just take it as your job. If na'uzubillah you heard that, okay, there's no more job for you here, and the worst thing which people think living here, if you were asked to leave this country, all of a sudden faces just drop down, and oh my Lord, I lost everything. Why? Who is your sustainer? But not you saying that Allah is your sustainer? Has anything changed? He's still here. And if just to tell someone that leave this country and go back to your country, or leave this job, you have no job, then you see everything is changed. What is changing? Why not you saying that Allah is your sustainer? Keep this in your mind. Now, in practice, in my practice, if I was thinking and doing accordingly that Allah is my sustainer, then the answer on that night would be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if I was thinking that my job or my boss or my business or my geographical location was the sustainer, I was thinking it, accepting it in practice, then answer to that question on that night, na'uzubillah, will be changed. Can I change that on that night while I was doing something else in my life? No, it's not possible. Cheating is not allowed. It's not allowed. You will say whatever you were doing. And that is examination. So where is the exam? It's happening here. Who was your Lord? You are writing the answer. What was your Qibla? What was your book? What is the meaning of having book? Book is something which becomes a code of reference. Whenever you have a problem, you look at that code, that type of book is called your book. Book of life. So what is your book of life? What is your code of and reference for decisions? For a lot of people, society is the reference for decision. They see and they do whatever society is doing. So na'uzubillah ta'ala, I fear that in the answer to what is your book, there is something else going to come. This is called symbolism. So my brothers and sisters, Islam is all about philosophy. It's not about ritual. You have to go in depth, change your life according to the philosophy of Islam, and then you have productivity of religion. We are very close to prayer, and they are pointing out that the time is over, and just praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that inshallah a few of our friends will go for Hajj. We will be here, but we can make it our Hajj here. We can make it our Hajj. Why not we try to make it our Hajj here? For example, they will say Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, and just a few minutes later you will say Allahu Akbar. Can you think about the same philosophy what they will think when saying Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik? When they will be performing their acts, so you can do it here, and you have a blessing from Imam al-Asr, you have a connection with him, and we know what type of sacrifice his ancestors performed at Karbala. At the time of performing their sacrifice, they were thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَزَنْ بِقَضَائِكَ تَسْلِيمًا لِأَمْرِكَ لَا مَعْبُدَ سِوَا. So getting benefit from this sacrifice and getting message from this sacrifice, we can change our life. This is a very good time. Laylatul Jum'ah and Yawmul Jum'ah are for thinking and pondering, and inshallah, Allah will bless us with His blessing on this night and on the day, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.